I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I'm pissing off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, any fresh drugs. Call me privately.
Welcome to episode 77 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode brought to you by twooldcrowshomestead.com, where you can get Hickory Ridge soap.
Turn that simp into a pimp. Dad, you mixed it up on me.
Of course I did, man. That's how I do it. This is how we do it, son. As an old ghetto philosopher said, it do what it do, baby. Anyway, this brought to you by twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. You might want to think about that micro, but remember that EMP Shield, when you put it on your house, your number one threat is lightning. So it is without a doubt the best lightning protector on the planet, and it's guaranteed. So if it blows up, if it gets past the EMP Shield and blows up something in your house, guess what? You're guaranteed. Find me another transient voltage surge suppressor that does that on the market, and I'll be a sponsor for them. But there ain't one. Anyway, Heaven's Harvest, also another great sponsor of ours. You can get 10% off with promo code PERMA. And especially in these times, we're going to talk more and more about it. And in terms of all your, you know, you got insurance for everything in this world. Do you have food insurance? Well, that's what that's for. You've heard us talk about beans and rice, but if you want meat, you might want to check them out. Yeah. I also love the fact that they don't call their seeds survival seeds, you know. I've always had a problem with that. Water filters, anything you need, go there, check it out. Remember, promo code PERMA. And don't forget Harvest Right freeze dryers. We got a link for that down below. And if you want, you can go to the Fountain app where you can tip a pimp. That's right. Listen to all your podcasts over there, three times the speed if you like. Check out that Fountain app. It is definitely worth it.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to jump right into it, y'all. Tip of the day. Now, this hit me when I was driving down the road today. I had to go do some errands, and every single time I go to town, man, I just want to pull my hair out with some of the little lunatic marchies I'm running into these days. But it hit me like a ton of bricks as I was on my way there. You know, I'm listening to one of the podcasts where they're like, yeah, go buy gold and silver. And that those things, they make sense. You're not going to make any money, but it is going to hedge your money. You're not going to lose anything. And it's not a bad idea. And some people even say, go, you know, get crypto or something like that. But let me ask you something, son. Do you think maybe before you get any of those things that maybe your money might be better served in buying super tangible things that maybe you might be able to eat? Like, let's say, animals for your homestead?
Yeah, there's that. That's a good way to, and it doesn't even require refrigeration at first.
There you go. Not at first. You can leave it on the hook. Yeah. How about this? What about trees?
Yeah.
I picked up an apricot today that we don't currently have. I don't even remember the name of it, but it does grow well here, supposedly. It does well in our zone. I'm going to put it down in the food forest. And that's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, of all the things out there where you can put your money into, your money's losing value every day. So what are the ways you can hedge it?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, man. You put in a tree, like Pastor Lon, the homesteading pastor. I got the idea from him. He and Miss Robbie, his wife, got a bunch of trees for $5 a piece on the discount rack. I can't remember where they got them. And then I did the math on it. Let's say it was 20 trees. If just one of them took root, just one out of those 20 for $5, are you not money ahead?
Yeah.
For the life of that tree, you are so much money ahead. Now, the odds are that they all die or little to none. But ask yourself right now where everybody's saying, put your money in the gold, put it in the silver. I'll tell you what, you would be better off putting new tires on your truck.
Or building materials or building like tools and stuff like that. That wouldn't be a bad idea to stock up on.
Absolutely. You took the words
right. Like screws and nails.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, things like that. Maybe even wood if you can get it on a discount rack.
You can find wood, worst case scenario. You can't find screws and nails.
Well, that's a good point. But also consider things like, okay, what about gardening infrastructure? Where some of those screws and nails, maybe you want to make some raised beds or something like that. So everybody's thinking, okay, these dollars, this worthless money that you have in your pocket, I'll go buy gold with it. Well, I'm not saying it's not a bad idea. In fact, in many ways, it almost certainly is a wonderful idea if you have the extra money to spend. So make sure your food and your water is on lock. But also think about those other things. I mean, would your money be better served? And this applies to us because I just signed up for another school. I don't want to say what it is yet because I don't want them to get swamped. But I signed up for another school. It's
sold out now, isn't it?
Well, I still want to keep it on the queue for right now. And I think they prefer it to be that way. But anyway, I signed up for a class. Is that not a better, I mean, is it better that money sit in the bank or go get more information that is going to make me a much better permaculture designer and farmer?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what if, and that, this is a shameless plug, but I mean, let's keep it real. Okay, bone sauce. Let's say you do have trees. Okay, maybe you want to protect that investment.
That's another insurance.
Yeah, that's a, well, I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, definitely it is. And some of the other stuff we're finding out about it, you know.
And so would like a livestock guardian dog. That's insurance for your flocks and then also your trees and stuff like that.
And for your family.
Yeah.
Because frankly, ain't nobody, when they know you and they know who comes on that property, when somebody is coming up that shouldn't be there, well, our dog lets us know about it.
Yeah, I mean, all of them do.
Yeah, every single one of them. That's a fact.
At once.
Yes. Yes. It's like they hear Milk Boy outside and then they all start going off. Yep. And, you know, that's, I guess what, I don't mean to make this tip so long. In fact, I could have very well made the show about it. But the point of it being is everybody thinking they got to put their money in gold, silver, crypto, whatever the case may be. Think about those tangible things where you're getting way more return on investment for buying that tree.
Yep.
For buying those seeds, for buying that storable food, or buying a Harvest Right freeze dryer. I mean, and this isn't a plug to put money in our pocket. I'm just saying, you don't even use us if you don't want. I don't care. But at the end of the day, really, when you get down to brass tacks, your money is better spent by buying real life tangible things.
Or buying eco flows until you get off the grid.
Well, there's that.
That could be one aspect. And then you never pay for electricity again.
Well, that's a tip that honestly hit me like a ton of bricks when I was in town today. I was like, okay, yeah, let me write that one down. So I stopped what I was doing. I was like heading down the road. I like pulled over for a minute. Let me write this down so I don't forget it. All right, so we'll just jump straight into the farm news. Speaking of investments, I spent money on an online course, and it is fantastic. And I'm in the middle of doing that course.
Do you want to mention that one?
No, I just want to keep, I want to make sure I'm completely done. Before I go telling everybody else what it is, I want to make sure I'm satisfied with the results. I don't want to say I'm doing this course, have a bunch of people sign up, and then I find out in the last section that it was all bunk. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that I finish it before I go and tell everybody, hey, you know, this thing was well worth it. Your mom doing the same exact thing right now.
Yeah.
She's spending every available minute of every single day on her course. It is a very lengthy, it's a tough course, and she's going to be one of the few people in the world that know how to do what she does, and we'll be able to reveal that hopefully here within maybe a month or so. How's your 75 hard going?
Good. I'm on day, I think today was day 67.
Wow.
So I have less than 10 days. Yeah, today was day 67. After we record this podcast, I'll be done with my list for the day.
Wow.
But yeah, 67. Less than 10 days left, and then I take a 30-day break and then do it for 30 more days.
Well, I'm proud of you, son. Okay. I mean, it's no doubt about it, man. If folks, if you don't know, he got this 75 hard from
Andy Frisella.
Andy Frisella. And I got to say, I've been your dad your whole life. And
thanks, Dad.
Honestly, I've never seen a better version of you. I mean, obviously, we all got things we need to work on. But even your mom would agree, you are without a doubt far and away not the same person you were before you started this. Some of the proclivities you had that may not have been wonderful have definitely improved in every single aspect of your life. I mean, we are seeing immeasurable improvement in you. So I look forward to doing it myself. I keep saying, okay, I'll get going on it. And I let life get in the way, and I'll be honest with you. I'm just trying to find that good time, and I'm starting to realize there's never going to be a good time.
Yeah. Just start tomorrow, Dad.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to start tomorrow. I need to plan a few things out, especially when it comes to the working out and stuff like that. So, as far as all the other stuff around on the farm, okay, we totally ran out over the weekend of comfrey and bone sauce. Well, we have more of that in stock. Yeah. So it's just so many things, and we're trying to keep up with it. And that's part of what, as far as the farm news, I want to make sure I point this out too, because I know for a fact it's not just us. So we had so many things going on, so many enterprises, so many things that we have been doing that, frankly, some things just get neglected. And I'll give you a prime example. The pasture. Part of it. At least where that bull was.
We need to do a video on that.
We will, definitely. And we overgrazed it. Now, the beautiful thing about it, and we talked about this before, is that we know the recipe. We've done it before. We've done it in multiple places in the country, in places we've lived, and every single time we know how to improve it. It is not difficult. It's just a matter of doing the recipe. But what's frustrating is when you know you're going backwards in a certain area, you know you're doing it, you know why you're doing it, but you just don't correct it because you're so saddled with every other thing you're doing. And that's what we've been trying to do as of late. So folks, the main goal, if you're new to this PimpCast, you'd probably have to go back a few episodes to find out, but really what we've been doing is clearing the slate as much as we can to get hot and heavy on building an earthship. And in order to do that, we have got to get things off the plate. Well, getting the bull was one of them, getting him out of here, getting those two pigs off the side of the mountain. We gave one to Ben and Denise. The other one's going to your uncle. And I'm just about done with the back end of that thing as far as I still got to do a little bit of grinding. And you got to get over those humps. You got to sit here and deal with the fat. You got to deal with the back fat. There's things you have to do. And it's not a fast process. It's not an easy process sometimes, but we're getting as much off the plate now that the freezers are bursting.
Yeah.
you know, and we're having to can food and freeze dry it just to, you know, I'm talking meat, just to have room for what we have. And it's a good place to be. It really is a good place to be, but we're retooling this farm and we're going to start explaining what that means. We're going to be putting in at least one swale. We're going to be moving those bees. We're going to be rebuilding these pastures. And from what I'm seeing already, the more and more and more I've made it my singular focus right now to focus on pasture management.
Yeah.
Well, not a singular focus, but I mean, it is a massive focus of mine. I know exactly how to do it. And frankly, it's even though we went backwards a little bit, son, is it not light years better than it was when we first came?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's still not. I mean, there isn't mud washing out into the road. That's an improvement.
Yeah.
When we first got here, there was like clearly mud washing out into the road from our driveway.
Yeah. So we've improved a lot of things, but there's still so much to go. But we're retooling things around here for a whole variety of reasons. And yeah, we're going to take you for a ride on it on YouTube and also right here in the PimpCast realm. So yeah, once again, we got Bone Sauce and Comfrey back in stock. You know what I forgot to talk about? I just got to... This is farm news, actually, that I've been meaning to hit since last week. Sunday, when I go out and I meet up with our partners to get our pig food and stuff like that, that girl, I was in the bakery. I went in the bakery to go get something. I was getting biscuits.
One? The one that doesn't like you? Oh, that? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there waiting in line, minding my own business. I'm just doing my own thing. Now, I will say... Before I got out of the truck, I was going through my Bible study. I was listening to the audio Bible before I got there. And as I'm waiting in line, just out of nowhere, this girl, at least I suspect it was a girl, as I'm waiting in line, I'm just kind of looking straight ahead.
Oh, yeah. You told this last podcast.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'm going to say it in case I didn't, because I don't think I did. Came up and then threw her shoulder into mine. I'm pretty sure I didn't say it, son. She threw her shoulder. I'm like, what? I turned around, and anyway, this lunatic ran out, got out of the store, but, you know, this is part of the nonsense that's going on in this world. People are just getting plain crazy. All right, y'all, before we get into Pastor Lon, I want to remind you that coming up real soon, we got that pig butchery. It's going to be teamed up with Jason at So the Land. It's going to be at his property. It's going to be April 28th and 29th, and then May 5th and 6th. Now, keep in mind, with this butchery, it isn't just a two-day hands-on workshop. In addition to that, you are getting the electronic copy because that is worth its weight in gold. You're getting the PDF of everything to do step by step, and the electronic copy is going to be included with the cost. That's why the cost is what it is. Plus, it's a two-day class, and we are leaving no stone unturned. So keep that in mind. People have been asking, and I think I do have a question in the Q&A about that. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and get into the homesteading pastor. Check him out on YouTube, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I want to speak to you just a moment about right relationships in our lives. You see, people can be used in our lives as blessings of God or as tools of the enemy. You need to be able to discern the difference between the two. There are flesh people who like to tear you down. There are faith people who will build you up. Faith people help to unlock your potential. Flesh people feed your fear, make you think you've lost your dream. The right relationships instill in you a can-do attitude. You begin to stretch your thinking and think, maybe I can do this or that I set out to do. You see, right relationships that God puts in our life can help move you to the next level. So I encourage you to seek His counsel on the right relationships in your life and figure out which ones are draining you, which ones are supporting you, and also think about this, which one do you represent to others?
Bam.
Yeah.
Boy, he knocked that one out of the park every single time.
Yeah, I'm convinced he's got this place
bugged. Yeah, I'm about convinced. Pastor Lime, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, that is so true. That's, folks, I will say.
I'm fine with it. Just let us know.
Yeah. I mean, whose phone you got tapped, Pastor Lime? I mean, good night. We really ought to spend a second on that before we get into the bad news, good news section, because truthfully, folks, that's been one of my biggest problems is that I got a big heart and I've extended myself to people who did not deserve it in the past. And I've done this over and over and over again. And sometimes I've been warned even by William and Michelle about these people. And some of them.
Yeah, Dad's the last one to see like those signs, which isn't like, it's not a bad characteristic. It's just other people recognize that and take advantage of it. But Dad is the last one to recognize that someone is kind of up to no good.
Yeah, and it's crazy because of how I grew up. I mean, there's sometimes where I could see it plain as day.
Right, yeah.
It's when a person usually hits me up with one of these, and this is what Andy Frisella talked about a lot of times. And I didn't know this, where he said a lot of these wealthy people, they have minders or people that stick around them to keep them from hearing because they do have big hearts, a lot of them. And they come up with these Sally Sob stories. And, you know, I'm one of those ones that, historically, man, if somebody tells me they're having a bad time and I want to see the pain go away and I'm doing everything, moving sun and moon, sometimes at the detriment of my own family to try to help these folks out. Well, I've gotten wiser on that in recent days and I'm realizing that, you know, not everybody that comes to you. And frankly, I mean, I'm almost jaded to the point where a person is going to have to show me that they have some measure of helping themselves out. Before I go helping them out. I mean, you got to be willing to do something in order. I mean, son, how much money have we blown on people that really we shouldn't have spent a dime on?
Yeah, but I mean, that's not our like place to worry about it. We're just supposed to do it and then.
Well, we're supposed to do it with discernment. We're supposed to have a discerning, and that's what I've been praying for, is that the Lord gives me a greater sense. I have great discernment concerning certain things. Sometimes, you know, one of my weak links has been, you know, somebody comes to me with a sob story, I buy it, and then next thing you know, I'm dropping thousands of dollars on them, and then come to find out they're shams or they're frauds or whatever the case may be. And
we've spent a whole episode on, like, getting the wrong people out of your life. We just did that recently.
Yeah, and that's true. But like Pastor Lon also says, is recognizing those good people.
Yeah.
Because honestly, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again one more time. I've said it before in that, you know, if there's a sheep that's habitually jumping the fence, in the oven you're going to go. If I got a chicken, I got a rooster that's acting up, guess what? In the cook pot, you're going to go. Got a cow that's acting misbehaving, I'm going Old Testament on you. So if I have this high standard for the animals I raise, shouldn't I at least expect the same thing in what should be a high-functioning human being? Well, in my mind, the whole thing has been backwards. I mean, and I'm thinking, I remember I came to this conclusion long ago, and I'm like, okay, if I have these standards for animals, I should expect more out of human beings. You shouldn't need constant coddling. You shouldn't need, I should be able to line you out and leave you alone. I shouldn't have to babysit you every step of the way. And frankly, when we get down to brass tacks on a lot of this stuff, there's just a whole lot of lazy people in this world or some trifling people that just don't want to do anything or, you know, just sit back and are using you and are doing absolutely nothing for themselves. So, yeah, I don't mean to belabor that, but yeah, that's been one of my Pastor Lon. Where you got the bug hiding, man?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we're going to get into the bad news, good news, bad news. I don't know. I guess this is bad news. They're talking about Trump being indicted. Now, I'm apolitical. Like Gerald Celente says, I'm a political atheist, I guess you could say. I think they're all polecats for the most part. Not a left. It's not the red state. It's not the blue state. It's the state against you. Let's be honest. And they're talking about an indictment. It's a sham. But honestly, how many tears should anybody cry for the same President Trump? You know, the guy who didn't say hardly a word about those people on January 6th who are still locked away in prison. I mean, political prisoners, for crying out loud.
How many of them committed suicide?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or how many of them were just flat out murdered? And the ones that are still being indicted right now. So if they go after Trump, and then I'm hearing people say, oh, they're turning the whole... No. You know how I know nobody's going to do anything, son? Because they sat there and told you, okay, they're going to put this poison on the vaccine schedule, and nobody's done nothing. Nobody cares. So if they could sit here and put Trump, they could drop him off on the Isle of Dr. Moreau. And honestly, the American public, we've hit a point of a level of depravity. And I text Pastor Lon all the time about this sort of thing. We hit a level of depravity to where if you can see this, if you can see these atrocities being done to kids, then what won't, I mean, until you're starving, you ain't doing nothing.
Yep.
So I guess you could say that's bad news because if anything, I think it'll be a false flag. Somebody will say some people went and blew up something. They'll blame it on Trump supporters. And then next thing you know, so that is potentially bad news, but I'm not going to be crying. I mean, like I said, he could have pardoned a lot of those people on January 6th.
Yep.
Where what happened there? Barely said anything about it until as of late. Yeah, he made a whisper here and there, but he could have been putting a focus on those people all this time, January 6th, who were there to support him, and where was he? And where is he? Barely saying a word. All right, good news. Check this one out. Elon Musk publicly decries trans surgeries and sterilization drugs for minors. Okay, that should be self-evident, but that's right on the heels of what I just said. If this is breaking news, I mean, first of all, I don't trust Elon Musk as far as I could throw him.
Right.
But I got to give him an applaud on that one.
Or his breeding program.
Yeah. Whatever this clown's into, man, I'm not digging it one way or the other. But hey, I'll give credit where it's due. But shouldn't that be self-evident?
Yeah. It should be. Yeah. But we, you know.
And embedded in this article is this one lunatic lady. And then there's a bunch of women out there behind her. They all look exactly the same. They look like just non-player characters, every last one of them. And they're
like
all
like a
wearing,
computer-generated, general-looking person.
Yes, and they all got these little badges on their shirts, and it says, support our trans kids. And I sat here and listened to this nonsense coming out of this lady's mouth about how, they're telling you what they... I got news for you. A kid can't even figure out what they want to eat for dinner.
Yep.
And you're going to sit here and tell me, oh, they're going to make some life-changing sex change surgery? This is madness.
It's probably because the kids are more intelligent than the parents, and they're able to outsmart them on this stuff.
Well, I have no fear on that score. All right, other good news. Now, I just said I'm apolitical, but this is good news. RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has kind of put out the feelers out there that he's thinking about running for president. Okay. As he clearly knows, you know, the Kennedy family running for president hasn't always bode well for them.
No.
Okay, so JFK, you know, November 22nd, 1963, murdered. I've been to that sixth floor museum, and you ain't going to tell me no Lee Harvey Oswald shot him from that window, especially when his head goes back into the left. But I digress. Robert Kennedy, his dad, killed right there in L.A., murdered. More bullets on the scene that were even in Sirhan's gun. He was clearly MK Ultra, mind controlled, the whole nine yards. If you want to go back, I've talked a little bit about that before. Now, Ted Kennedy, the Chappaquiddick thing, there was a lot of sneaky stuff that went on there. And the same people that were involved in Watergate were seen in that same area. So they may have drugged Ted. Who even knows what the case was? But look, every time a Kennedy runs for president, this ain't necessarily good news. But RFK Jr. reminds me of the classic liberals from back in the day. This guy, I don't know where he stands on everything, but he seems, from the face of it, genuinely honest to it. I'm sure there's a great many things I disagree with him on, but I wonder if he is one of the few people out there that could be running that isn't completely sold out to some interest or another.
And then we find out he has a dual citizenship.
Please not be the case. Well, anyway, I mean, I think this is a good thing if he does actually run. I don't have any illusions. Man, I hope and pray he doesn't end up like all the other Kennedys, you know, that ran for president or were right. president. But I know one thing. He is definitely going to come down like a ton of bricks on this whole vaccine nonsense.
Yeah,
I know that he's guaranteed to do that. And you know what? He may actually put some really good stuff into the race. When we get back, straight into the interview. All right, here we are, y'all, back here in the high atop Billy's Jungle Palace of Love, right here in the Pimpcast studio, and I got Josh and Megan with me, I was messing up, is it Megan or Megan? Meg. It's Megan, okay, mm-hmm. Meg, M-E-G, okay, we're not in Oklahoma then, so that's good. So, hey, y'all, this is really exciting because right here in this studio at this time, we're going to be talking about an event coming up, and it's so cool for them to actually come here and visit. This is going to be one of two events that we're only going to do this year, and the reason being, as we've stated before, is we got an Earthship to build. We got a lot of things, and we got a whole lot of construction projects out here, as they've witnessed on the way in here, that need to be done. So if anybody wants to come out there and see us in person, not that we're anybody special, but more importantly, to see the Pimp Daddy of Polyface, if y'all want to see that... Yeah. It's coming up, and these two are the ones putting it on, and it's the farm where you live. Why don't you tell everybody about what's going to happen at this event?
Yeah, so thanks for having us out here. Farm Where You Live, it started as a brand, just we're new homesteaders ourselves and just found out that there's not a lot of organized community in this area. Once we started doing this, we found out that there's more than we thought, but it's just harder to find it. So this event is for people that are new to homesteading or even people that are experienced, but it gives them a chance to connect with the people that have the resources, people like y'all who could be a resource for learning things as far as finding good education online or anything like that, or even just people that are in our own communities that we just didn't even know. Your neighbor could be doing things
Absolutely.
That is in this realm that you have no idea about. So April 15th, we're going to be here in Asheville at the Ag Center, for this event. It's going to be probably our biggest event of the year. It's definitely going to be the biggest event that we've had so far.
This thing is selling out, y'all. And remember, if you want to go there, you can. We're going to leave the link down below, as we always do. And of all the festivals I've ever been to, y'all, I've got to say this is, without a doubt, my favorite. There's a lot going on there. And it's not just because they do a superb job of putting it on. It's also... For me, as a person who's been in this thing for 2 decades, in the homesteading preparedness, the whole thing, it's really awesome to be able to be in the company of other people that you already know you have something in common with. As soon as you walk in that door, I promise you, when you go to a place where it's like a cold call, so to speak, you always have these concerns about whether or not, am I going to feel like the outcast? Am I going to relate? It doesn't happen here. As soon as you walk in that door, you already have something in common with everybody else that's already in that place. But really, the best part of all of it is not only the fellowship, but also any opportunity you have to be in the company of Joel Salatin. I promise you, as a homesteader, as a thinker, as no matter where you are in your life, you are going to be edified. You guys are on your bicycles the whole time, meaning... From start to finish at every event I've ever been, they are completely exhausted because that's how much they put into it. It's a great event, perfectly set up. And honestly, the place you picked out this year, Megan, you want to tell everybody why you picked Asheville? Because this is a place where people go to vacation. It is at a perfect time of year where the weather's going to be fantastic. But this is a place where people already go to vacation. So why Asheville as opposed, last time it was in South Carolina, and you also have one coming up in Georgia.
Yeah, right. So we've been in South Carolina primarily, but Hendersonville is my old stomping ground, so I have a lot of connections there, and selfishly I just want to be back in the mountains. But Asheville, the Ag Center, is just perfect right off the interstate for people that are traveling. We've already had people coming from the coast, from Tennessee, from Alabama, so it's just easy access to get to us. But yeah, we're excited to be back in the mountains.
That's one real cool thing, y'all. It's off a main thoroughfare, so it's not that hard to get there. There's tons of places to eat in Asheville. If you want to go hiking, you know, you got the mountains all the way around you. You're world-class fishing over here, trout fishing. You name it, Appalachian Trail is coming right through this place. Mm-hmm. I can literally throw a rock from my house practically and hit it. So many different cottage places you can go to check out. But honestly, the number one thing that you're going to find when you come to this is the fellowship that you're going to have in this room, to where when you're homesteading, you often feel, if you feel isolated. Your neighbors and those around you may not know what you're doing or even have any idea. Then you may even be the outlier that they think is just a weirdo, that why is this guy or gal over here doing this?
Right.
You're in the room, and you guys provide a wonderful place for so many people to be in the same room, fellowship, just love. And in fact, when the event's over, you really don't want to leave half the time. You know, I got animals waiting on me, but I'm like,
bring the animals next time.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. There might be a couple on two legs out there. Who knows? I mean, this is Asheville. So,
right. Yeah.
So if you want to see another kind of, I mean, we don't have a regular zoo here, but if you want to go to downtown and go get something really good to eat and watch the human zoo, you're more than welcome. It's all going to be here. So okay, so describe how this event is set up. You have a number of different stages. How's that working out?
Yeah, so inside our main event, you have your gate ticket price, gets you in the door to see all of our vendors in the farmer's market. We're going to have a stage with music, and we're going to have some seminars happening on the stage and workshops happening indoors. This is a great location for us. Usually we stick everyone out in the middle of a field, but now we're actually going to be indoors, so it's not going to matter if it rains or however it is, but we also have access to another building that is an old livestock sales arena, and we're gonna sell tickets to see Joel, Justin, Billy, William.
The main event is Billy and William, by the way.
No,
he hates that, getting the attention, but we've been marketing this thing as the Farm Where You Live event featuring Billy Bond. Joel Salatin will be there, but yeah.
No, see, last time they had an event, they put me on stage with Joel, and for other people in this world, for like people in the pop music thing, that would have been like putting them up there with Michael Jackson, except without the pedophilia when it comes to Joel. So, I mean, folks, this is something you definitely want to go to. Like I said, there's a real tiny event that we're doing down in Florida later on, but this is going to be the last event we do this year. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really looking forward to being out there, meeting all of you, saying hi. I'm nobody special. It's just really cool to be in a place where all of us already speak the same language. There may be different dialects within this language, but it's awesome because you're already, everybody that walks in that gate, there's almost no feeling out process.
Yeah.
You already know that, hey, I already have something in common with these folks, and it's going to be a great time.
We want us to be really welcoming to people who are not homesteading. The Farm Where You Live name is supposed to be, you know, if you're not doing it now, you need to get started. And we want it to be welcoming for people to come in off the street.
Yeah, no shame. I mean, that's, again, it's funny, people think that we know a bunch of stuff about homesteading, which we picked up a lot. We keep meeting all these big name people along the way, so we're learning things. But we're still new to this stuff.
Trial by fire.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So a lot of the things that we've learned have been through a series of unfortunate events. So, which is, you know, sometimes you learn that way. But we want this to be a welcoming atmosphere for people at any stage of their homesteading journey. There's a ton of people right now that are brand new, that are interested, people that are trying to get out of a homeowners association, and they need to learn this stuff. And it's hard to find that information sometimes. It's like, even if you wanted to buy chickens, you go to Tractor Supply, they sell out. Well, now what do you do? It's like you have to it's almost like going on to the black market to try and find a pig, you know?
Right.
It shouldn't be that hard. It should be pretty simple.
Right.
But there's all these laws and regulations and things that people got to dance around, and so that's why I want to get this thing organized and get where people can find the resources, because everyone should be able to do this. Everyone should, in some capacity, everyone should. There's once you get into it, either you're just trying to save money or you're doing it for your health. You're doing it because you want to be able to rely on your own self. Whatever it is, once you start getting into it, you just kind of fall in love with it. So we want people that that are learning this stuff to not have a harmful journey in that process. We want people to be able to learn this stuff and do it in a way that's simplified and the resources aren't hard to find.
Even if you live in an apartment, even if you just a patio, you know, starting wherever you are.
That's what I love about what you have at these events is that when you look down the classes, no matter where you are in the continuum in homesteading, there is not, I'm not going to say there's something for you, there's everything for you. And then you're also going to find out, too, one of the biggest, having done these things for years and attended them for years, and the number one thing that, honestly, I think is most valuable to everyone I go away with is a contact list of people that I didn't know previous to that. Mm-hmm. That now, like you said, I remember there was an event in Middle Tennessee, and these people literally went 6 hours away. Come to find out, they're 15 minutes up the road from me. Mm-hmm. They went out all that way to find out to find community, only to find somebody like me that's only 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And then everybody else that goes there, they find not only that same thing, but maybe within a region or within a state, you just feel less alone in this world. But I got it. Let me just try to kind of change the script for a little bit, and let's talk about y'all's story. Like me, you're a craftsman, Josh, and you know, you guys, like you said, you're newer to doing this. Maybe share your journey, because I think it would almost, there's a number of people that listen to this podcast and they don't know where they fit into all this. Mm-hmm. Maybe tell them, what made y'all even consider homesteading? I mean, was it looking at the economy? Was it looking at the cost of food? Was it, I mean, what brought y'all to this space as far as your own journey?
Yeah, so, well, a little background without getting too deep. My grandfather was actually raised Amish, so there's always been some level of connection to farming and agricultural aspects of things. I've always had that perspective just because of the things he told us about growing up. So there's always been some sort of interest there. But this little thing in 2020, I think you've heard of it, it's called the coronavirus. That sparked a more serious, I guess more urgency for, you know what, if you can't find toilet paper at the store, what happens when that's your food, you know, milk? I mean, we've got little kids that have needs that if you don't know, it starts to scare you, which we certainly don't want to scare people into this. But I think that was pretty eye-opening for people, us included. And I think that's part of what this big resurgence of wanting to go back to a simpler time and going back to more of a self-reliance aspect of things. That was really the big eye-opener for us.
Yeah, so Joel, that was what he talked about the last time at your event, was the homesteading tsunami. And who cares how we got there, but right now, if there's a good thing to consider with all that's going on right now with inflation, okay, we just a little side note, if you wonder where that's going to go, well, we just, and this is what they admit, $2 trillion just basically got pumped into the system. That's what we know about. It's probably going to get more. What that means to you, me, you, and everybody else out there is that your cost of everything is going to go much, much higher when you inflate more dollars. Well, the way to insulate that is using some of the methods that we do and we teach. We raise our pigs for 21 cents a pound. We raise our chickens for free. We raise our eggs for free. We got sheep out there that you guys just looked at a moment ago. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff, essentially, with the right methods, are free. And that's why you go to an event like this, to learn from the very best. People like, and I don't include myself in that list, but people like Joel Salatin, the pimp daddy of Polyface himself, is going to be there. And this is what he does. And there's a number of other people out there, too, that are doing astonishing and incredible things in their own space. And when you have this, when you have this assembly of joint wisdom, you inevitably assemble with all of these people everything they brought with them, and you're able to cross-pollinate what you think you know or what you thought you knew compared to what other people know. And then you walk away from there thinking, oh, good night. So basically, at the end of the day, y'all, the prices of everything, I hate to break this to you, they're not coming down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're only going to keep going up. So, and I'm not, and I know you don't do this out of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know you don't do any of this out of a spirit of fear, but I know that if we're able to congregate ourselves and cross-pollinate all these little things, things you may take away, things you may impart to someone else, or if nothing else, knowing that, you know what, 2 hours down the road, maybe I got a bug out place I didn't know about. And that's how you find out about these things. So that's pretty awesome. Now, you guys have kids and all. Now, this is naturally going to come up too. So we don't, because there are some whack jobs out there. We won't tell them their names and anything like that. But you do have kids, and clearly these children need, they have needs. Are they old enough yet to participate in some of the farm ventures that you're currently doing?
Oh, yeah. Our daughter is 10 years old, and she does most of the morning farm chores. She's feeding chickens. She's, awesome. You know, feeding all of the animals, and she wants to keep adding more animals. And she's complaining about her chores, and then she wants to add more animals. So, but, you know, our son was right front and center when we butchered chickens and rabbits and pigs. I mean, they've all been very, you know, the babies aren't quite into it yet, but.
That's not true. We were starting our seedling transplants yesterday. We're going to do an experiment and just try to garden on our front porch just to do something small. And our babies, we've got twin girls, and they're 18 months old, and they're out there.
Hands in the dirt.
Yeah, they're, I mean, oh, she figured out how to pick up the spade and scoop it into one of the cups. I mean, even at that little of an age, I mean, and it's natural, too. That's the funny thing is we're so disconnected from our food sources and things like that that you don't have to teach a little kid to pick up dirt and get dirty and stuff like that, which, I mean, you know, obviously we don't want kids being dirty all the time. But that's part of being a kid. That's part of exploring this world, and that's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's rewarding to observe that with your own children, seeing them picking these things up and just having a natural spark of interest in it.
Now, speaking of kids, clearly, I mean, I've been to events in the past where it was just adult strictly. I mean, I imagine this is a kid-friendly environment.
Of course,
very family-friendly. So 10 and under is free to get in the door, and then I think from 11 to 17 is just $5. So we're gonna have a kids' tent that's just for them, kid-themed classes, and I think you're gonna be doing a rope tying class.
We're gonna do that. Yeah. So if you got kids, I mean, whether your kids, it's gonna be a homestead knot class, and we're gonna do a really cool project at the end of it. This is a class I used to teach exclusively in the preparedness communities, but honestly, I don't see an overlap anymore between preparedness, permaculture, practical living, and homesteading. I don't see where there's a break anymore, and I don't think we can afford to have one these days. So clearly, there's going to be stuff for kids. Kids are invited, kid friendly. Just don't leave them unattended anywhere in Asheville. I think that goes without saying.
I think that's Asheville's official slogan as well. Asheville, don't leave your kids unattended.
Yeah, don't leave. I mean, it's not like, I mean, we're not going, I don't want to scare anybody away. It's not like downtown Chicago, but there are some really awesome places to eat, farm-to-table kind of places to eat, a lot of all that stuff. But then there's also a high component of very woke kind of people around there. You don't have to worry about violence or anything like that, and you don't have to worry about somebody beating you over your head or, you know, trying to shake you down for the change in your pocket. Not going to be any of that. It's just going to be some very, very entertaining folks.
People watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. If you're into that sort of thing, good night. You're going to get your fill. Well, is there anything else you want to tell us? I mean, where can they find it? Hold on. I'm still blown away at the cost of tickets. Why don't we cover that right quick? Because right now, one of the things that I find most astonishing about this is your price point on your tickets are incredible. Why don't you tell everybody what those are? Because some people are turned off these days thinking, okay, well, it's going to be too much for me to attend. I can't do this. I can't do that. Why don't you tell everybody what costs to get in and what they can expect?
Yeah, so the gate entry right now, if you pre-order your tickets, it's $10. I think the day of, it's going to go up $15 just because we can't accommodate, you know, if we pre-order everything, we just want to encourage people to do that. It makes everything easier on our end. The day of, we'll have to pay staff to collect tickets and all that stuff, so that's why there's an increased cost the day of. But yeah, the point is, so that way, like we've established with letting people that are new to this come to these events, is that sometimes it's an investment you're viewing these things. And there are aspects of our events that are investments. We just had a pig processing class, and that was a high ticket price. That was an investment in your education.
I thought that was a low ticket price, for the record. I mean, yeah, no, I really do. For what you get, y'all have, I mean, and I don't mean to go sideways here, y'all, but your price point is extremely low compared to what you will get. Because for me to get my butchering education, or what people would have charged, shoot, right now, 6 or 7 times more when y'all did. So you're making it affordable. In fact, this is beyond affordable. $10 ticket price is insane. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take you off your
board. No, you're fine.
Yeah, but there, we also are going to have paid classes. If you are used to paying a normal ticket price, you know that these speakers cost money. And so we wanted to separate a special speaker-focused area. That's one thing that we've struggled with, is that people be able to hear the classes. We're going to have a really good sound system. It's going to be a limited capacity seating for these classes. So you can pay per class to go visit Joel, Justin, Billy, William, all of our celebrities. Or you can buy an all-access pass. If you just want to come for the education, come sit under these leaders all day long, then you can pay the all-access pass, which is still a pretty great rate for what you get. And there's also a discount code, I think, Billy.
Yeah, what is that code, pray tell? Huh? Anybody listening to here, you're probably already signed up, but if you aren't, discount code, we're going to leave that link down below, discount code PERMA. Now, whether you're watching on YouTube or otherwise, and if you're not on YouTube, y'all go check it out. We do have a YouTube channel now. If you want to see this ballin' studio we got here, and so go check it out on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe, but also we'll leave it in the YouTube link, and we'll also leave it in the podcast link down below. Go there, use promo code PERMA. That's going to knock 10% off, and then you're off to the races. Man, this sounds like a really good event.
10% off, it's wonderful.
This is the first event that I've gone to in a long time that was literally in my backyard, so it's only like an hour for me to get there. So that's really not far to go.
Yeah, there's a big community of farming and agriculture here in this area. It's sadly getting overtaken with people that are relocating, and Asheville's just it's a big city, but there's still a pretty strong heartbeat of people that live and die by farming out here, and it's a missed market, we think, but Megan's from here, she knows that this is here, and we want to reinforce that community and give it better legs to stand on, and for even people that are relocating here that have an interest in those things, we want you to get to know your local food sources.
Well, you know, that's really awesome, because part of the reason for us coming here, I mean, when we left Texas, I mean, I thought I'd retired, and we retired to Texas, and then a series of events unfolded, I won't go through it again, that made us say, you know what, this is not where we want to be for the rest of our lives, and there is a reason. We settled right here in these mountains, even though now you guys, first time being here, you realize this is a very, very difficult place to farm, yeah, just based on its topography. But this is where I want to live, because it is also a mecca for homesteaders. I couldn't understand when we first got here, what about this area was making all these homesteaders come here? You got Jason from So The Land. You guys just did a butchery with Ben and Meg Holler. You got a number of other people that all are seem to just be, there's this high concentration, mm-hmm, all around this place. And then as I lived here, I'm starting to realize the reasons why. Oh my goodness, you got a bomb food scene everywhere you go around here. Not only in addition to that, you also have these other people that, for the first time in my life, I'm in a place where people actually understand. I can say the word permaculture and they know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So you're going to have that. So it's not just the event, but all the other wonderful things that you're going to see around this place. I am so looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody else that wants to. I mean, like I said, I don't get out much. And this is going to be one of two more times I'm actually going to leave the front door and get out this year. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I can't think. Is there anything else y'all want to leave them with? You want to tell them where they can find the website?
Yeah, well, I wanted to bring up, we had talked about this earlier, we are looking for volunteers. We're apolitical as a business, as I think businesses should be. A lot of times, you know, you know what Hershey thinks about chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you shouldn't. It's a chocolate bar. Right. So, as a business, you know, Megan and I, we have our personal beliefs, and, you know, on a personal level, we're happy to talk about that. But while representing the business, we don't do political things. This might be viewed as political, which hopefully it's not taken that way, but we are looking for volunteers to be at our prayer tent. We're going to have a prayer tent at this event. We think that this world needs prayer. We know that this city, along with every other city, needs prayer. It's part of fitting in with trying to encourage and build up. That's what this whole homesteading thing is about, is building a stronger community. So if you're someone who wants to encourage people that are coming to this event, and you want to just be with people and pray, you know, even if it's just spending 30 minutes just praying with people, we're looking for people to help with that. I'm going to do some time in there too, because it's important to us. Like I said, as a business, this is the only thing that you're going to see branch into that, which it shouldn't be.
It's not political.
Yeah, it shouldn't be viewed as political. I'm sure there are people that are going to take it that way, because everything's taken one way or another. But that is something that, you know, we do hope that we have people that are interested in helping with that.
Man, I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, because if you were, and that's certainly not a political thing, but, you know, I make no bones in this podcast about the fact that I'm a Christian, American, heterosexual, pro-gun, liberty-minded permaculture designer. I mean, I make no bones about that. And the people listening here, are, if they've stood out for this long and the podcast is, in fact, growing, I'm sure they're well aware and they're probably going to appreciate that. Maybe I can reach out to Homesteading Pastor. Maybe get him to come up there. Maybe he can exercise part of this Asheville. Maybe he can exercise West Asheville. No, it's really not that bad, y'all. But there is, I mean, I'm pleased that you guys even have that component there. And I think it's a wonderful thing, because it's not just a fellowship that we have there, but it's also this other part of the fellowship, because most of us within the homesteading realm tend to have the same kind of values and likes. Not that we all do, but generally, we, as we said before, we speak the same language for the most part.
Yeah.
And sometimes, in terms of our faith, that may also be some of the language. But I love the fact that we're going to have that option out there. Y'all, definitely go check it out. We're going to be there. Promo code PERMA. We're going to leave all that stuff down below. I want to thank Josh and Meg. I keep saying Megan. I'm not in Oklahoma anymore. I want to say Josh and Meg. If I just call you Meg,
that's,
I mean,
right. Just don't put an H in there, then that's really wrong.
No H.
Meg Han.
That means you got to stick your pinky up in the sand.
Thank you so much for having
us. Smashing display on the podcast, Meg.
Come out, guys. We got legit teachers like Billy. Hey, look, seriously, though, we pulled up to this property, and I was like, there's no way I would do anything here other than just roll down the hill. So, you know, that's something that we pride ourselves on, is having legit teachers. I know Billy doesn't like to toot his own horn, but I don't mind to do it for him. He's
an honor.
Yeah, he's legit. We just had Ben do this pig processing class, and he's legit. We try and vet our teachers and get people that are the real deal. You know, there's an aspect of it probably where we're having people that are just fans, but we want you to meet these guys, because they are a resource. They're people that we find to be a resource that are going to be knowledge, whether you follow them on a Pimpcast or on YouTube or whatever. But that is something that we pride ourselves on, is that we do try to vet our teachers and find people that really know what they're talking about.
Well, it's been a real joy to have y'all here, and they've actually taken some pictures of me. At least Megan has, and we'll see how well those turn out, because I'm not exactly a pretty person. So I told her, try to make me pretty if you can. But, hey, y'all, thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to seeing y'all soon at the event.
Thank you. Yes. Looking forward to it.
Up about Elon, buying Twitter like he gon' save us. Left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me NATO. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster.
That song cracks me up every time.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, get you a bowl of Alfredo. That guy called in last week. Yeah, got me a bowl of Alfredo.
Yeah.
All right, hope y'all enjoyed that interview. It was a joy to have him out here, and hope to see all of you there. Remember, get on there, and, you know, look, as far as what we were talking about, even in the tip part of this show, where we were saying, hey, you know, tips, maybe think about different ways you can spend your money. I'm not telling you how to do that. But when you go to something like that and you hear a master, and I mean that, a master like Joel Salatin, I mean, you don't know what, You don't know what you're missing by not listening to that wise man. Yeah. Every time I'm around him, y'all, I'm floored. And he is so doggone wise, and I'm always the better for it every time I'm around him. So into the Q&A, y'all. Right here, we got the first one straight out of the gate from George. He says, the podcast is awesome. Thank you very much, George. I'm interested in purchasing comfrey root cuttings from your website, but I live in southeast Wisconsin. The ground's workable up here. Would it be safe to buy and plant comfrey now, or would you recommend I wait? Honestly, if you can work the soil, you can plant this stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can put it in right now. Thank you so much, George.
I got one from Cindy Dame. My husband built a skinning rig using a wrench. He's a trapper and hunter, and it's very sturdy. He wanted to share it with y'all when he saw how y'all were lifting the pigs. Yeah, those pigs were freaking heavy. We were saying actually while we were processing that we need to build something to lift these pigs. We do too many pigs. I mean, at first we were only doing like what, two pigs at a time, and it was like manageable, but now we're doing pigs so often. I mean, we need to build some sort of infrastructure to skin and hoist pigs.
Yeah. Not just that, but also, I mean, truth of it is when we get to building more infrastructure out here, and it seems like I know the polar opposite to do in the times we're in, but there is a method behind the madness, believe me. That's one of the rigs I want to do is be able to do cows right here as well. To do is, you know, any kind of animal. I want to be able to process them, do everything we have to do, hang them out for the specified period of time, draw that moisture out of them. You know, there's so much more we would love to do, and it's just, you know, step by step. It's just going to take some time to do all that. So we got one from Jessica. Thank you for answering my last question in the podcast. I found these extremely helpful. I've been watching a ton of videos on swales, and I have to admit I'm very overwhelmed with their implementation. But more importantly, how do you get water from the low pond uphill to start a swale system without electricity or fuel? I do not have access to water at the high point. What do you say, son?
You just let it wait for it to rain. You dig the swale. And then you let it sit, and then you just wait for it to rain, really. And then the water will gravity feed down. It'll either soak down through the pasture, everything down below it, or it'll go out the overflow.
It comes down to design, but I think she was also saying that, you know, the water in the low ground, how do they pump it up? What is that? There is one way.
Tromp?
Yeah, a tromp. Or there's this.
A ram pump?
Yeah, there's
Archimedes
a bunch of.
Screw.
There's a bunch of different ways you could go about doing that, low tech. Now, you're not going to get a high volume out of there, but like William said, if you can set those earthworks high in the landscape, remember, you want to use that potential energy to your benefit. If you can stick it high in the landscape, and then through a series, I mean, it's going to be difficult to explain through a podcast, but right now, we're about to do a swale.
Yeah.
We're about to do maybe a couple of them.
Comprehensive videos as well.
Yeah, we're hoping to do that too. Yeah, that's definitely something we plan to do as well.
I got one from user 5129. You guys are awesome. Hashtag tip a pimp.
Bam.
Thanks. I got another one for it. Dan Del Coyo, maybe. Random comment. You always talk about Joel Salatin, but truth be told, I never listened to or read anything about him. Last week, a suggested video popped up, which was a Joel Salatin interview, so I decided to listen. Holy crap, that guy is awesome. I didn't listen to the Pimpcast for over a week due to consuming Joel Salatin content, but I am back now. Ha ha, keep up the good work.
How dare you? How dare you?
That's a
How
pretty
good. How dare you? Let me say that all breathy. How dare you? No.
We can make that a sound bite.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, honestly, he's been, as far as farm influences, I mean, I don't know that there's another human being on the earth that has inspired more people. I mean, maybe Jeff Lawton's up there too. But yeah, I mean, the guy is unbelievably smart and wise in just about everything you can possibly think of. I was a big fan. What got me onto him, first of all, was his politics. Yeah. When I find out he was liberty-minded and he was a libertarian, I don't know that he called himself a libertarian. I think he just calls himself freedom-minded. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask him next time I see him. And, yeah, you can't go wrong listening to Joel. Knew two ways about that. You know, you may have differences about certain things or whatever, but the guy eats, sleeps, breathes, drinks everything that's related to this. And he's made more people aware that farming can be done at any level than probably anybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
Got one from Martha here. I'm looking to buy some of your bone sauce to protect fruit and nut trees that I plan to plant over the upcoming months and years. A couple of questions. Number one, how long does it last? I'd be happy to buy a large size if it has a long shelf life. Yes, it does have a long shelf life. In fact, if you put it on your trees, it lasts forever and a day.
If you put it on a wooden surface, they say up to 25 to 30 years.
Yes, it will. I mean, the stuff we've applied it to, we haven't had to reapply it. Now, I would recommend you will get a skim over the top of it. Just scrape that off. It's going to be a white skim, like looks like mold or something. Like, just take that, just throw it away, and then get to it underneath. But yeah, you can stick it in a cool place if you possibly can. Preferably, if nobody's going to eat it, maybe if you put it in the fridge, you could do that too. You could even freeze it. It's not going to hurt it any. Also, do you sell it anywhere besides online? I'm in Johnson City, Tennessee. No, we just do it online, and
we should get a storefront.
We probably could. We could even probably sell it down at the local feed store, maybe at Smiley's or something. Truth of it is, honestly, I'm not sure how much longer. I mean, this stuff works. It does everything we say it does. Not making any pie in the sky claims or guarantees about it. And we've made it much stronger than the original design. Thing is, it takes a long time to make. This stuff is not easy to make. So
yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's a very long process, and I'm not sure how much longer I'll be able to do it. Maybe something I have to farm out in the future if I can trust the person being able to do it. But right now, I'm barely able to keep up with it. Now, we got one more question. She says, are there any trees I should not use it on? Planning permaculture guilds with hazelnut, apple, pear, peri cheeks? No, you can put it on just about any. You can put it on any wooden surface. We've never seen it harm anything. It's always best to do it when the tree is dormant. That way you can put it on everything. But when the leaves start coming out, then you're going to want to miss those leaves. It's not going to kill the tree, but it will wilt those leaves if you get it on there. So otherwise you'll have to take a paintbrush and kind of go in between the leaves, or just really just go up to, you don't need to do the whole tree, just browsing height. So, you know, maybe 5-6 feet tall. They get up there and they're like, oh no, I came to the wrong place.
I got one from Strider 47. Don't let your friends hold you back, not from bettering yourself, not from bettering your family, and most definitely not from hucking a chicken plucker into the ring when 5 minutes of fists and fury start flying. Hashtag tip a pimp, hashtag catch Jack, hashtag pluck around and find out. Also, don't let yourself hold you back. Keep up the great work, fellas.
Oh, man, thanks so much, man. Always some great stuff from Strider. Yeah. Got one from Chef Keith Snow. He said he was going to go out and take a bike ride, and then bam, all over
started
the place.
Started spraying.
Yeah, man, Keith Snow, Chef Snow, man. I tell you what, talking to him, man, the dude is smart. I wish we would have gotten more into some of the stuff, because he does know his way around the esoteric and around a lot of these things. In fact, if you listen to his podcast, man, he covers a lot of this same stuff.
Yeah.
When I first heard him, I was like, oh, shoot, can't wait to talk to this guy.
Got one from Single Tree. Thanks for all you do. Thank you.
Thank
and
you,
I got
Single
one
Tree.
From B. Lynn. If you were to collect water in IBC containers, how would you keep it clean? Well, I mean, you can do like traps whenever the water is going into the IBC tote. So that'll catch like your large particulates, like leaves.
Silt catch and stuff like that.
You can also, like at Earthship, on their water tanks in the back behind the house, they raise the valve up a few inches off the base level. So that way all the silt and sediment and stuff like that sits down at the bottom and you never drink any of that stuff. Also, you could just filter it afterwards if you're worried about it. And then also be careful about what was in the IBC tote before you purchased it.
Got one from David. Just recently got introduced to David Strait's work on becoming an American national. It's hard to wrap my head around. And I was wondering if you've ever heard of him. To me, it seems like the ultimate red pill. No, I've never heard of this guy, but I do definitely understand what it means to be an American national. In fact, I've been meaning myself to look. I mean, I don't mean to imply that I'm the subject matter expert, because I'm not. I've heard it talked about before, and frankly, I want to look into it myself. I've heard of a number of people doing it, and I've only ever known one person where, like, I could reach out and touch. And I've only ever known one person. This was back in the mid-90s that I knew had done something like this. He didn't pay taxes, never had any problems, never anything. So there's definitely, you know, this is definitely something I want to look into in a massive way. Because if there's a way around a lot of this stuff, becoming an American national, I think I'm totally down for a lot of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking more into it. No doubt about that. Do you have any more, son, on your
end? That's it for me.
All right, we got one from Jim. He says, I watch your YouTubes and videos, and your philosophy is 100% on the same page. Well, cool. Also great to meet another 100% minded, like-minded person. I work in cybersecurity, and decentralization is the key to stability. Anywhere data is stored in mass is toxic. A single point of failure, yeah, I totally be. And he makes the same correlation between farms.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's exactly what we need, is a bunch of decentralized farms where everybody is, where nobody's telling you what you have to do, where you're doing it on the basis of what just makes sense. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I think you hit it. Yeah, I think we're good.
We got one from Angela. She says, let me try to get right down to it. She said she was, well... Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and, yeah, I mean, yeah, I really can't get into all that right now. Ty says, I'd like to thank you up front on two fronts. Thanks for serving your country with the U.S. Army, along with being a voice on the home front and the Pimpcast. I wanted to ask you, you're feeding on dogs. We use a raw food diet on our dogs, so it isn't new to us, but you mentioned something about an egg diet, and we were basically is wondering about... ratios and stuff like that, man. We really don't mess with any of that, Ty. I mean, we go based on their body conditioning, and you just got to play with it. If they look like they're losing too much weight, which ain't ever going to happen on the Pimpstead, because your mom, she wants everything fat but her.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, we just pay attention to body conditioning. If they're getting fat, then cut back on the feed. If they're getting skinny, then increase the feed.
Yeah, there's really, I mean, we, and then like all these pigs we process, well, all the stuff that's blood, meat, and everything else, we feed them that.
Yeah.
I mean, we got bags and bags and bags. And that's why I've said, if you butcher it on the homestead, there's really zero waste. I mean, zero. So whereas I told you before, a decent butcher will give you back 60% of your hanging weight. When I say decent, I'm talking out there, a marginal butcher. I have proven, and I've shown numerous times already, that you can get, I've been all over with the numbers, but I'm saying, I say you get 100% of your weight back because you're using those things you don't eat as dog food and things like that.
The animal never left the farm.
No.
So you keep 100%. That's 100% of the fertility staying on your farm.
Staying on your farm. That's right. Being like, what did Jeff Lawton tell you? If it lived?
Oh, yeah. If it lived, it can live again through compost.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So he's asking, what size tarp do we use on the 18-day compost? I'd say maybe a 12 by 12 that we wrap around there.
Yeah, or a 10 by 12, I think.
Yeah, it's whatever we got on hand that'll fit over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's ranged from like a 4 by 8 to like a 20 by 16. It's just whatever's around.
Yeah, he said it is the bee's knees. Okay, we got one from Mark here. I told him I'd respond on the podcast. He says there seems to be a consensus that processing knowledge and experience is a trade needs more people, especially on the homestead level. I was interested in your workshop with Jason until I saw the price. Well, that would have put me over $1,000 to attend. Now, we kind of covered it before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, with this, it's a two-day workshop, okay? 2 days. In addition to that, you're getting what nobody else is giving you in any kind of workshop right now. That is a high-def PDF that comes along with it and a course. The electronic version of that course that in and of itself is enough to show you how to do everything. So
you leave with the course with you, like you take the course with you.
Right. Basically. You go there, you put your hand, you see it three-dimensionally. Then you take home the video that we charge money for, the big processing course. That's why it is the price that it is. And even still, people that aren't even giving you that have less experience than I do and are giving away less in this course are charging way more for less information.
And also teaching you a different butchery technique. Like a lot of those people are teaching you like the butcher shop, I would say, butcher techniques. And these are meals for the homestead type techniques.
There's a big difference. I want to make sure, I'm glad you pointed that out, because the one thing I've had issues with a lot of these, it's become in vogue to show everybody how to do mortadella, capicola, prosciutto, all these other things. Well, that's showing somebody how to slam a basketball before you've learned how to dribble. I have adapted my level of butchery. Now, I can do all those things. I can do them in my sleep. No big deal. But I almost never talk about them because, like I said, you're showing somebody how to slam a basketball. First, you want to get good at dispatching that animal humanely.
Right.
You want to get good. And the reason I teach skinning half the time is because it applies no matter the animal. If you can skin a pig, you can skin anything. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, that's for doggone sure. If you can skin a pig, everything else comes off like a sock.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. Any other animal. A pig is difficult. I am teaching this method of butchery because it applies no matter the animal. The cuts that I do and the ribs that I do it on, every single, and I've done it before. I've shown you on a deer. I've shown you on a lamb. Only thing I haven't done yet is on a cow where it's essentially the same exact thing. So there are people charging way more money for a lot less. And that is why the price is what it is because you're leaving with it. You are leaving with the electronic version in addition to actually having been there 2 days. People are charging for a 1 day butcher shop what we're charging for this whole course.
Right.
And you're not, so, you know, as far as the price, I mean, I guess maybe you ought to consider.
Check out some other places.
Yeah, go. You're welcome to go anywhere else, but I promise you, I know my craft, and I know that there is not another butchery course out there that is giving you more for what you paid. There is not. I will stake anything on that. Find me another one that's even close, because any other course that was doing this would be charging almost twice as much as what we're charging, because there is a lot of intellectual property in this, and frankly, it was a lot of work to make it all happen too. You know, and then there's this also part which I don't completely understand. He says, I touched on this before about the distance between Justin Rhodes and yourself, and I understand it's complicated, but consider this. Abundance Plus has nearly 12,000 members at a minimum of $15 a month. However, they lack the clarity on processing, and I would have rather. Okay, I can go into this, but basically, he's seeming to think that there's some enmity between me and Justin Rhodes. You know, when I talked about the Homestead beatdown, I wasn't entirely serious about that. I mean, yeah.
Is he trying to convince us to get on Abundance Plus?
No, I don't know if that's what the case is, but it ain't going to happen for a whole variety of reasons.
Okay.
I don't know. Frankly, I don't know that he would have us over there. I run my mouth too much about the powers that shouldn't be. And frankly, I'm an American first. So if I see things, that's why we have that good news, bad news section in here. And there's some people, and I'm not faulting those people. There's some people in the Homestead realm that just don't want to talk about that, or are apolitical, just really couldn't care, which I never understood, dude. You're either an activist or an inactivist. Either way, you're involved.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Justin comes down on any of that stuff. Frankly, I don't know him very well, but I don't know if you're suggesting that maybe I team up with Justin. You know, he's doing his own thing and I do mine. So, you know, best of luck to him, but no, I don't see any collaborations there. I can pretty much guarantee you that. I can't just leave it there. I mean, when I'm saying I put him through a 5-minute flurry of fists, y'all, I'm talking about for charity. You know what? Honestly, I would let Justin knock me out if it meant I raised money for Vets for Child Rescue. I would let Mike Tyson knock me out if it meant that I raised money for Vets for Child Rescue. I would do that. It's the least I can do. These children suffer in ways that are unimaginable. And so, you know, I don't know what anybody thought about that. I thought most people realized it was in jest. But anyway, moving on. There was somebody asking, D. McKeon is asking, good morning. Do you have a discount code for Farm Where You Live in Fletcher? Yep, we just mentioned a little bit ago. Perma, go to that website. It'll be listed down below also, right?
Yep, and the link.
All right, y'all. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for checking us out. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.